We are extraordinarily fortunate to have our next speaker with us. It's a very rare occasion when this information breaks into the political mainstream. And this gentleman was brave enough to initiate a debate in the Japanese House of Councilors, which is the equivalent of Australia's Parliament and our Congress. And he has traveled a long way to share his story with us. Please welcome a member of the Japanese House of Councilors and a member of the Democratic Party of Japan, Yukihisa Fujita. Please show him our appreciation.
Some light somewhere here. I have a small note, just I have made some notes from which I would like to speak. Yes? Is it working? Yes. I would like to see, yes. Thank you. It's a great honor for me to be able to speak to you this afternoon. Thanks for the invitation, John and others. I have a personal, very important sort of life event in Australia. That was, I met my wife for the first time in Australia about 30 years ago. She does not happen to be an Australian, but happens to be a Japanese. So we've been married for the last 26 years by now. I was very moved by the apology by our Prime Minister, Mr. Rudd, last month, because I remember visiting a settlement or reservation, you may call, of the Aborigines in Queensland with Senator Bonney some 20, 30 years ago in Queensland. And I had a personal friendship with Senior Kim Beazley, the late father Kim Beazley, who passed away last year, the father of the former leader of the opposition. And I remember Kim Beazley Senior telling us about the education reform as education minister he conducted for Aboriginal children about 30 years ago. So these things make me want to come to Australia. In addition, the last time I was in this city was when I was invited to talk about anti-personal landmines, and it was 97. And in that year, the Ottawa Treaty was signed in Canada. So these things make me very moved to come to this conference this afternoon. Now, my involvement with 9/11 goes back to the year 2002, I think. The chief of my small township in Tokyo said, you know, these days, the USA makes use of high-tech warfare that you do not have to kill many soldiers, American soldiers, he meant. And by very few casualties, you are able to win the war in Afghanistan. But he said afterwards that, you know, the life price, the price of the lives of Afghanistan people seems to be much, much cheaper than those of the U.S. people. And I was very moved by it. Then in September 2002, well, a few months before actually, I had been asked by a Japanese non-governmental organization to help them find a good project in Afghanistan. And this group actually held a charity concert for those victims of 9/11. But the fact was that they did this charity concert for the victims of the 9/11, but for, not for those who were killed in New York. But they wanted to help some projects in Afghanistan. So eventually, I was able to arrange for them to build a school in Bamiyan in Afghanistan. You remember Bamiyan was where a big Buddha statue had been destroyed, where the minority people are living in a bad condition. So I was very moved by the fact that very simple, humble Japanese citizens have good smell or a good sense of who were the real victims of the 9/11. Therefore, they built this school for the children in Afghanistan. And these sort of things made me, of course, be interested in what happened in 9/11. But I was very ignorant about what was happening. And a few years later, that I began to know that the holes in the Pentagon were much smaller than, you know, they should be. But I didn't sort of take these things so seriously. Until a few years later, I was given a film by a Japanese woman called Yumi Kikuchi, a good friend of Chihaya's, The Plain Sight, Japanese version. And I began to be more serious. But in between various things in politics and in non-governmental organization, I didn't take them up even seriously. Then, I think 2 years ago, I was given more information, including some various allegations which are portrayed in these patriots' questions. And that made me more serious. Now, the important thing about this patriot's question is that you cannot deny those facts. I mean, I've been very moved by various presentations this morning and just now. But the thing is that politically, I think as Professor says, NIST people knows that, you know, what they are reporting was not out of their conscience, but politically it's very difficult to prove that they were wrong. But what was said in public on different media, newspapers and so on, you can't deny. And from this fact, I formulated the questions to the Prime Minister and the other cabinet ministers in January. I was very moved by the fact that a person like Professor Griffin, a theologian, didn't have anything to do with politics. Very meticulous, thorough investigation, a person like him conducted. I was also interested in Ernst Welteke, the chairman of Central Bank of Germany. And he said at the conference of finance ministers and governors of central banks of Europe in September 2001 to say that there had been strong evidences of put options and high oil prices and some interventions of gold market and insurance corporations. For some cabinet minister or politician to say something can be debated, but the governor of Central Bank of Germany to say such a thing at the conference of central governors meeting cannot be sort of debated about. So I started building on those facts to ask questions to the Prime Minister. Now, something similar to political situation of Australia and Japan. The fact that both nations have been sort of invited or forced to be involved in the warfare in Afghanistan and Iraq. But one difference is that 24 Japanese were killed in New York. But I had discovered that the Japanese government does not has not intended to find the facts about how those 24 people are killed. For those who had not read or seen my questions in January, the answer by the Japanese government was that they do not know how those 24 people are confirmed to be dead. 11 people, somehow they have some facts why they were killed. But 13 of 24 Japanese killed in New York were proved to be dead because the U.S. court had sentenced that they were dead. And I asked the Prime Minister or some other cabinet ministers, have they, the Japanese government, discovered or confirmed that U.S. authorities had done DNA test? Then the answer was that they don't know. In November, actually, last year, I had asked the Japanese Prime Minister, do you think terrorism is a crime or warfare? The answer was, yes, basically, terrorism is a crime. But what happened on the 11th of September 2001 was well-organized, planned attack. Therefore, we supported the war on terror. So I asked in January to the Prime Minister, as you had said it was a crime, then you have to investigate to find out who did it and how they were killed. As I described, no proper answer from the Japanese government. Therefore, we have the right, I said in the Japanese Diet, that we have to find out from you, the Japanese government, and you, Japanese government, to U.S. government to receive proper confirmations of how the victims were killed, and who did it, and how they did it. So that's how my question started. And we have a system in Japan that members of parliament have right to ask the prime minister written proper set of questions, and they have to be answered through the speaker of the house within a week. So I have had two rounds of questions to be replied by the prime minister and the cabinet. And no proper answer so far has been given back. But gradually, various contradictions and how they were not in a position to answer or find out the facts or their unwillingness to find facts, those things are being sort of revealed. About 10 days ago, I was invited by Mr. Juliet Chiesa, a European Member of Parliament, to the event which took place on the 26th of February, the film showing of Zero. I don't know, some of you may have seen about it, but it has not appeared on the internet world because the point of the film Zero is that we've been quite active in various countries, but we have to go out from internet world to a sort of daylight activities to be shown to the public, the ones who do not usually operate through internet. And I think the time has come for us to go out from internet world to wider public activities. So therefore, the filmmakers, Mr. Chiesa and others, have made this film by their own expenses so far to try to convince the film distributors in various countries to be shown in the movie theaters. And I have heard that the person responsible for the film distributions in various countries had visited Australia. Actually, he had flown back from Australia to Belgium to be ready for that event on the 26th of February. I don't know which sort of film distributor in Australia that he's been negotiating with. The film Zero is a very Italian graphic moving film. For instance, at the screen, the burning scene of that tower in Madrid, and the World Trade Center sort of appearing on both sides of the same sort of screen. And the site where the airplane crash took place, somewhere. And the place where the airplane was supposed to have crashed in Pennsylvania. So sort of two films are sort of showing. So you can see the contrast very easily and so on. So I hope that this film Zero will appear in various movie theaters in various countries. In Europe, I was able to meet various people, including Michael Meacher, former Minister of Environment in London, in the UK government. You know, he was the Minister of Environment, and he took a lot of courage to say his beliefs in one of the newspapers. And because of that, he was sort of sacked by Mr. Blair. But he says that maybe in the Labour Party in UK, 20 or 30 members now who share the same view as he does. And there may be... ...20 or 30 others in other party who would sort of publicly sort of support if good timing and way was found. And as Mr. Blair is not the Prime Minister and the time for Mr. Bush is coming to an end, he said that our time is coming and our time will come soon. Here are some of the statements that he made, but I think you know those things, so I do not read it out. Then, so I think what we may be coming to a stage is that in these patriots in various sort of fields of professional life, I think the scholars, physics, and construction experts, like those who have presented this morning, Professor Jones and so on, I think you have coordinated well enough to make common petitions or requests. But politicians have not been able to coordinate ourselves. Maybe the politicians could or should make a list, network of people to make certain common petitions to U.S. government or U.S. MPs and so on. There is a suggestion of some politicians to sign to request the United Nations to have independent investigation on the 9/11. I don't know the UN is better or independent commission is better, but this is some of those things that some politicians with the help of NGOs should be talking about. By the way, partly because of my intervention in January, Mr. Kucinich, a congressman in USA who tried to stand for the presidential election has, of course, since then withdrawn, but he has said quite recently that he wants to ask the government, or he wants to make some investigation about the put options in the 9/11, 2001. So somehow we need to share the information to be reported to some key or potential allies in various walks of life to coordinate some of those information to move from various angles. And I feel that conference like this, and the conference, by the way, there was a conference of NGOs who are dealing with 9/11 to meet for the first time in Amsterdam on the 1st and the 2nd of March. So I was lucky enough to move from Belgium to London to that meeting in Amsterdam. And 11 countries were represented. who are dealing with 9/11. And they now have the network of 9/11 movements, people, to try to share information together. I have brought with me some, this is a sort of colored photocopy of a book written by our mutual friend, Chihaya and myself, a Japanese friend who lives in Spain. And I gave this to the professor this morning, but he has collected a lot of those videos and pictures of the ones that the two speakers today have showed. And he had very thorough sort of research on the collapses of three buildings in New York. And maybe amongst the scientists and scholars, you can share these information together, sort of clearing house of information. Maybe I can circulate this. So maybe in my conclusion, I think the scholars may be the first pioneering work in coordination with various non-governmental organizations. Maybe time is coming that from the internet sort of circle and NGO circle and professional circle to some political and media and therefore more common people's sort of world to make these united efforts to go forward. And for this, I admire and pay respect to the conference organizer today in Australia. Since my arrival this morning, I was asked by various people why Australian MPs have not shown interest. And my answer is that I think quite a few Australian MPs must know some fragments of information, but they do not seem to have enough thorough information, enough to be able to stand up and to go beyond the risk of losing their seats. But if maybe a bit of thorough information and one-to-one talk to one or two MPs, and if one or two MPs got enough information and therefore feel secure or feel something very important to take up, and if one or two MPs in the parliament did move, I think other MPs could follow. Because I was very surprised that after my interventions to the Prime Minister in January, quite a few colleagues in my party actually had known about the 9/11 doubts quite a lot. One person, for instance, had known about the put options. Another person actually is an expert on the building and so on. So without knowing anything, he had said, you know, seeing those videos in New York, I wondered if it was a demolition. Yes, one particular MP, who is a Secretary General of our party actually, wondered if it was a demolition. But even he didn't dare to ask it because it was unthinkable, he thought. And a few MPs actually had seen some videos of plain sight and so on and so forth. But once I did ask those questions and began to be known, quite a few MPs came to say, you have taken such a courage to ask those questions, we want to support you. So maybe... in Australia, there are potential MPs who knew quite a lot, and a little bit sort of encouragement and information can help them go forward. And I again thank you for the invitation, and I would like particularly to mention that this is Chihaya, who lives in Victoria, She actually translated my debate in the Japanese Diet into English, and because of her efforts, that English version had been translated into French, German, Spanish, Italian, and Slovak language versions. So thank you for your listening.